We'll go ahead and answer the first question, which is, where do babies go when they die? We did get this submitted again this year several different times, and it is an important question. I would argue that in all of human experience, I'm sure there's nothing more heartbreaking than losing a child, no matter what age of that child. I can think of, in terms of my own family, we felt the heartbreak of losing a child. My parents did when my brother went home to be the Lord. I never had the privilege of meeting my niece either. That was an infant. My brother went home to be with the Lord in a bus accident as the Lord took his wife home with him at the same time. His wife was pregnant with their little girl at that time. And that was heartbreaking. Not only did we lose two that we knew on earth, but we also never got to meet that infant. And that's a heartbreaking loss. And I can imagine that, I would argue that one of the hardest experiences on earth really is the loss of a child. And so while this question is repeated, I think it deserves our attention again. Even statistics themselves, one report I read in a book called Empty Arms noted how many people this particular subject this evening touches. And they noted in that book, Empty Arms, up to 25% of human conceptions do not complete the 20th week of pregnancy. One in four conceived will die. 75% of fatal deaths occur in the first 12 weeks. We have the largest population this world has ever had, but we have lower mortality rates than we've ever seen, and yet the amounts of infant deaths remain quite staggering. The last estimates put that number at around 8 million a year of infant deaths, and that doesn't include abortions. Now, these babies are eternal souls. And so the question is, where do they go? And that is a question of monumental significance. Because there's really, as a Christian, there's only two possibilities. And we must, at the outset, acknowledge that there's only two. Eternity is either heaven or hell. And nobody wants to say that babies go to hell. And so we need to answer this question. Where do babies go when they die? This is a question that needs to be answered. Needs to be answered on a large scale, and needs to be answered even on an individual scale when you and I meet someone or in our own lives face this very difficult situation. This question stems from another important question that's often called, are infants guilty before they commit actual sins? And here are some important considerations that I would give to you this evening as we dwell on this question. First of all, I think we can all agree, God loves children. It's clear throughout the pages of Scripture that God has an immense love for children and a desire that we as children of God love children and invest into those ministries as well. To give you a few examples, and I'm going to go ahead and put the Scriptures on the screen because if you want to, you can certainly flip in your own Bibles as well or jot these verses down. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, "Behold, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward." Luke 18 says, "Let the children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." We could go on to numerous other passages that all point to the same conclusion. God loves children. That's an important opening consideration. However, God loving children is not enough for us to make a judgment call on where do babies go when they die. We also know that God loves everyone in the world. So we need to go to another important consideration, and that is this. There is what I would call a condition of accountability. There is a condition of accountability. Get the idea of age of accountability out of this discussion for a moment. We're talking about a condition of accountability, not an age. Who qualifies then in our discussion as an infant or child who dying is saved, who dying instantly goes to heaven? Who are we talking about? Answer, those who have not reached sufficient mature understanding in order to comprehend convincingly the issues of law and grace, sin and salvation. This is certainly true for an infant in the womb. This is certainly true for an infant at birth. This is certainly true for a small child. But this is also certainly true for a mentally impaired adult at any age. Anyone in the condition who cannot sufficiently understand and comprehend, so to be fully convinced of issues of law and grace, sin and salvation, falls under this category. So get the idea of age of accountability out. Think of in terms instead of a condition of accountability. And throughout Scripture, there does appear to be this condition of accountability. Obviously, even though every child is born into sin, a toddler or an infant cannot fully comprehend the gospel story. God himself recognizes that in his pages of Scripture. Moses said this in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. "And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I give it to them, and they will take possession of it." Again, this is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. He's referring to a group of children that do not yet know good from bad. Even with the Hebrew idea of corporate responsibility, right? The Israelite idea of corporate responsibility and corporate personality, these children are not responsible for the sins of corporate Israel because, as the Scripture says, they do not yet know good from evil. Isaiah chapter 7 is another passage. In his messianic prophecy in Isaiah 7, there are two references to the time when the boy, in verse 15 and verse 16, knows enough to reject wrong and choose right. Isaiah chapter 7, 15 and 16. There's a time when the boy knows enough to reject wrong and choose right. And subsequently, we can conclude from that, there was a time when he did not. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, Jonah chapter 4, verse 11 quotes God as saying, "But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and many cattle. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Again, this is Jonah quoting God. Although this passage is less clear than the other ones I just mentioned, it appears from the context that the reference is to that which distinguishes morality. They cannot yet decipher between their right hand and their left hand. To me, that would fall into the categories of infants and toddlers and even those who may be mentally impaired. Underlying each of these statements is the apparent fact that prior to a certain point in life, there is no moral responsibility because there is no awareness of right and wrong. And since salvation requires, 1 John 1, verse 9, a confession of sin, and since it is clear that some children can't comprehend their sin, it seems clear that there must be a condition of accountability for someone, at which point God finally holds them personally responsibility, they're personally responsible, rather, for their comprehension of the gospel message, and by extension, there is also a condition in which God does not, when they cannot personally understand or comprehend what is being said here. So number one, God loves children. Number two, there is a condition of accountability. That's really important. I would argue you could almost stop there, but I'll press the issue a little further. There is hope for those who died before they reached that condition of accountability. Particularly relevant here is a passage you may want to find in Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, this is a relevant passage to this discussion because it's the passage that talks about the case of that first child Bathsheba bore to King David. And when the infant child had died, here was David's response in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Bathsheba, again, bore this child to David. This infant dies, and David's response is this: "I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." Now David, who through his life had such great confidence that he would live forever in God's presence, for example, see Psalm 23, verse 6, and many other psalms, also had confidence that he would go see his infant son again when he died. Now someone might object that David is only saying he would go to the state of death just as his son had gone to a state of death. But this interpretation does not fit the language of the verse. David does not say, I shall go where he is. David says, I shall go to him. This is a language of a personal reunion. It indicates that David has an expectation that he would be reunited one day with his infant son. Now, this is a great comfort for us in the account of David's sin and of a hope of a death of a child. We may, like David, be assured that this child is in heaven with the Lord. This can only imply that we see the unborn children in the presence of the Lord forever. I believe this one passage alone offers immense hope and assurance for anyone who might go through the trial of losing a child. Quite frankly, this passage is, in my estimation, the strongest passage anyone can use to prove that babies go to heaven when they die. But I'll go a step further. We're pressing down on this issue. God has saved the unborn before. He has. Think about it in terms of Scripture. If you're putting on your scriptural hat, this was true of John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel, before John was born, said of this about John, Luke 1, verse 15, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. It would be fair to conclude that John was born again before he was born. Now, this is also similar in Psalm 22, verse 10. David said, since my mother bore me, you have been my God. I'll give you that. Here's Luke 1, verse 15, if you want to see it on the screen, where John the Baptist, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And Psalm 22, verse 10, since my mother bore me, you have been my God. It is clear, therefore, that God is able, he is able to save infants in an unusual way, apart from hearing and understanding the gospel. God can do this for one chief reason. He's God. God somehow brings regeneration to them very early, sometimes before death. With that said, that's not the only examples. We could use others in Scripture as well, and some may be thinking of some. We must affirm that this is not the usual way that God saves people. Salvation usually occurs when someone hears and understands the gospel. But in unusual cases, we do know, like John the Baptist, God brought salvation before there was understanding, which leads to the conclusion that it is certainly possible within God's realm of salvific plan that God can save the unborn because he has done that before. Now understand that when you answer a question like this, where do babies go when they die, we must answer it from Scripture, chiefly and most importantly. But also, when we answer it from Scripture, we must answer it lovingly and with hope. I appreciate what John MacArthur said in his sermon, The Salvation of Babies Who Die. Apparently you can tell where he stands on the issue just by that subject. He says this, when an infant dies, he or she is elect to eternal salvation and eternal glory. And he's giving, by the way, a scriptural perspective and then hope. So, dear one, if you have a little one that dies, rejoice. Count not your human loss, count your eternal gain. Count not that child as having lost, but having gained, having passed briefly through this life, untouched by the wicked world, only to enter into eternal glory and grace. That's a wonderful, hopeful line of thinking. My dad has three sisters that survived infancy, but his mom actually lost four children before in infancy. What's interesting to know is when his mom went to glory, when my grandmother was promoted to heaven, was when my sister was around kindergarten age. That's why my sister's middle name is June. That was my dad's mom's name, was June. And my grandma, when she went to heaven, my grandpa sat down and told the kids that Grandma Phelps had always prayed, for whatever reason, since she was very little, that God would give her eight children. And God did that, he said. Now she gets to go and see those four in heaven while you still four are down here. And one day she'll have a heavenly reunion with all eight of her children. I thought that was a really neat, hopeful thing for my grandpa to share. If you want another added resource, a recommended resource, and a really, really, really good book, It's called Safe in the Arms of God. It's written by Truths from Heaven about the Death of a Child. It's also written by John MacArthur. In my estimation, this is one of his stalwart books, perhaps his best book. He answers this question, where do babies go when they die? But he answers it with great hope and tact and comfort from a real pastor's heart. It is a wonderful book, and you should get it. It's called Safe in the Arms of God, Truths from Heaven about the Death of a Child. So I hope that helps you answer, where do babies go when they die? My answer to that would be, they would go to heaven.